Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. This is God's Word. David asked, "Is there anyone remaining from the family of Saul I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake?" There was a servant of Saul's family named Ziba. They summoned him to David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "I am your servant," he replied. So the king asked, "Is there anyone left of Saul's family that I can show the kindness of God to?" Ziba said to the king, "There is still Jonathan's son who was injured in both feet." The king asked him, "Where is he?" Ziba answered the king, "You'll find him in Lodabar at the house of Machir, son of Amiel." So King David had him brought from the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David, fell face down, and paid homage. David said, "Mephibosheth." "I am your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "since I intend to show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all your grandfather Saul's fields, and you will always eat meals at my table." Mephibosheth paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you take an interest in a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Saul's attendant Ziba and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson all that belonged to Saul and his family. You, your sons, and your servants are to work the ground for him, and you are to bring in the crop so your master's grandson will have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, is always to eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do all my lord the king commands." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table, just like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. All those living in Ziba's house were Mephibosheth's servants. However, Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. His feet had been injured. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is not the first mention of Mephibosheth or of his injury. If you'll recall earlier in this book, he was referenced, and we said there will be more about that later. Well, this is more about that. But let me tell you right now, this is not all there is about that. There will be more later. One of the things that happens in 2 Samuel is you have various threads that run through the fabric of the story, and you get part of the story here, and you get part of the story here, and you get part of the story here, and you get part of the story there. And that's a good lesson to learn, because it is true of all of Scripture. There are things in the New Testament that you will not understand unless you understand the Old Testament. Going all the way back to Genesis. Genesis sets the foundation, and the rest of Scripture builds on that. All of it points to Jesus. All of it points to Jesus. But there are these wonderful threads that run through. And that is not only true of 2 Samuel, and it's not only true of Scripture, but let me tell you, it is also true of your life. There are things in your life that happen here and you think that's an isolated thing, but it turns out that's going to pop up here too. And you maybe deal with it, and then later on it comes up again and again. And if all that was just under our control and we were doing the weaving, we were the ones making the story, then that would be one lesson. But we need to realize God is the one who is weaving. Yes, we're responsible for our choices, but God is at work in all of our lives, accomplishing His purpose. And you want to yield to Him, not resist Him. I had the privilege of knowing a lady who had suffered horribly during the Holocaust in Europe. She was from the Netherlands, a Dutch lady, and she had had a ministry to the developmentally disabled prior to World War II. But during World War II, she and her family hid Jewish people in their home in order to try and protect them from the Nazis, who were rounding up Jews and sending them to labor camps where many of them would be killed. Many of them would be deliberately exterminated as if they were just vermin. So, in the privilege of getting to know her, I learned a number of things, and one of them was a story she used to tell. She would pull out, she had a little kit of illustrations that she carried inside her flashlight, and she would bring things out of the flashlight and show them to us. And one of the things she pulled out was a piece of needlepoint, I guess you'd say, or weaving, as she put it. And she would hold it up, and she would say, how does this look to you? And what she'd show us is the underside, this tangle of knots and threads that had no discernible beauty. It was just a mess. And then she'd say, oh, well, look at it this way. And she'd turn it around and you'd see the beautiful picture on the other side. There was a poem that she loved. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors He weaveth steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget He sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reasons why. The dark threads may be needful in the skillful weaver's hand as the thread of gold and silver in the pattern He has planned. Now, folks, God is weaving a beautiful picture in the lives of His children, and you need to trust Him and not be surprised when, from our perspective, we just see threads going this way and that way, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. Here is the story of a young man who had lost everything. By the time he appears here, he's old enough to have a child of his own. But I want you to understand, he'd lost everything from a human standpoint. His grandfather had been the king. A crazy king, yes, but still the king. His father had been the prince. And now his father and his grandfather have both been killed, and the kingdom is no longer in his family. Not only that, his uncles were killed, and he himself had been crippled from childhood. Because of an injury, when his nurse was trying to save his life, and she dropped him. Sounds like a spinal cord injury. And so he was not able to walk after that. He spent his life orphaned and crippled and having had his family fortune taken away.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His
Now, David, if you'll recall in the previous chapter, has basically eliminated anybody who might have a rival claim to the throne. Many of them were killed by others. David had nothing to do with it. But by the time we get to the previous chapter, all the rivals are out of the picture. And David has solidified his control not only over the immediate kingdom, but over surrounding territories. He has conquered enemy forces. You remember he had people line up, had the soldiers line up, lying on the ground, and he would measure off a section and then another section, and those 2 sections would die, and he'd let the 3rd section live. He was a man who killed many people. And now he finds out that Saul's grandson, Mephibosheth, is alive. And he wants him brought to him. You can imagine that Mephibosheth would be nervous. And I'm putting it mildly. Okay? Terrified. What's he going to do? Is he going to kill me too? And so Mephibosheth is brought before him, and Mephibosheth bows before him, and David says to him, "Don't be afraid. The reason you're here is I was hoping that I could do something to show my appreciation for your father." Okay, remember, David and Jonathan had been absolute best friends. And so now, with Mephibosheth there, David is wanting to do something for him. And he says, "Since I intend to show kindness," verse 7, "for the sake of your father Jonathan, I will restore to you all your grandfather Saul's fields, and you will always eat meals at my table." The guy's about to get a fortune. I mean, to be given all the fields that had belonged to the king, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And of course, he can't work the fields himself, so Saul's servant, Ziba, is going to be put in charge of farming Mephibosheth's inheritance. Wow. But in addition to that, he says, even though you will have the income and the ownership of all of that, I want you to always dine with me here at the palace. You're going to eat at my table. Not just, "And when you're in town, stop by and maybe we can share a meal." He says, "I want you to eat at my table. I want to treat you like one of my sons, since your father's dead and your father was my best friend. I'm going to treat you as if you are my son." Wow. So Mephibosheth's response is, "What is your servant that you take an interest in a dead dog like me?" He did not say, "Well, it's about time. I mean, you realize I am from royalty. I mean, I know now you're the king, but hey, I was the son of the prince. And when the king dies and the prince dies, you know who is supposed to become king, don't you?" No such thing. His response is amazement at the grace that is being shown to him. Now, this isn't just a curious story about something that happened long ago. This is what happened in my life. I was a dead dog. I had sinned against the ruler of the universe, and I had no hope whatsoever. But God, being rich in mercy, chose not only to send his son so that I could be forgiven, but having forgiven my sins, he sent his spirit to live the resurrection life of Christ in and through me and to adopt me into his family. He wants me to call him dad. He said so. And he says, "I'm treating you as one of my sons because you are. Not because of anything I deserve, not because of anything I've accomplished, but because of his amazing grace. God, the creator and ruler of the universe, has made me part of his family." "Pastor Wood, is this whole thing going to be about you?" No. The reason I'm telling you about me is because it isn't just Mephibosheth's story, and it isn't just my story. It is your story if you are trusting in Jesus Christ. If you are trusting in Jesus, then you are a child of the King. And you are invited not just to visit when you're in town, you're invited to live in the palace and eat at his table. Wow. Do you get that? Do you understand that this is God's plan for you? I tell you about the things that God has done in my life and the way God has answered prayer, not so that you will think I am special, but so that you will know God is great and he answers prayer. I'm not special other than being a child of God. And that's something he offers to all who will trust in him. You understand? That's the purpose of our testimony. It's not to say, "Well, that's what happened to me because I'm so wonderful." No, that's what happened to me, and if God can do that for me, he can do it for you. That's the purpose. And so Mephibosheth, who was crippled and poor and living off the hospitality of someone else and had a son who was a dependent and no real discernible way to take care of him, God intervenes through the kindness of the king and causes David to display the kind of grace and kindness that God will display toward us. And I don't want you to miss it. I want you to dine at the king's table. I want you to eat in fellowship with God. Jesus says in the book of Revelation to the church, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and will open the door, I'll come in and I will dine with him and he with me." To get to eat with God. Right? Do you understand that? What if Steph Curry invited you to go to Five Guys and get a burger with him? Would you say, "I'm really not a fan"? Or would you say, "Steph Curry wants me to eat with him? Steph Curry wants me to eat with him. I can't believe it. What about it?" Would you be excited? Would you be excited? Who's Steph Curry? He's a basketball player. Okay? What if it was one of his teammates? What if it was a couple of his teammates? Let me tell you, nobody is as impressive as God. Okay? You know who made Steph Curry? God. You know who gave him his talent? God. God invites you to dine with him. And you're not impressed? Come on. Be amazed. I'm a dead dog. Why would you do this for me? And the king did not say, you're right. Yeah, never mind. He said, no, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make sure you've got an income, your property is restored, but you're not going to have to rely on that for your basic needs because you can live with me and dine with me. And that's what happened. Now, Ziba was told, you are to take care of this guy's property. You're to work for him from now on. He had been Saul's servant, but he had kind of prospered if you look at it. Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. That's a lot to take care of. That's bigger than my family. 15 sons and 20 servants. And Ziba said to the king, your servant will do all my lord the king commands. That's always a smart move. Okay? You don't say, well, excuse me, but I have my own responsibilities. I have my own farm, and I don't think I have time to... You just say, yes, sir. Okay? When God tells you to do something, don't explain to him that it's just, you know, I'm sorry, it's not practical. Telling someone the other night about the little boy with his loaves and fish. If I'd been that little boy, and the Apostle Andrew asked me to share it with Jesus by giving it all to him, I would have said, well, how about if I give him half? Okay? And I would feel pretty generous at that point. Okay? If I'm going to give half of my meal away, I mean, my mom packed this for me, and now I'm going to give half of it to that man over there, I would feel like, well, that's pretty good. How many of you, if you gave half of what you own and half of your income to God, would feel like you were pretty generous? Pretty spiritual? Yeah, me too, I would. But the little boy didn't do that. He gave it all. He turned the whole thing over to Jesus. That's what we need to do. God, it's all yours. I'm yours. My schedule's yours. I'm not going to give you a couple of days a week or a few hours here and a few hours there. The whole thing's yours. I'm at your disposal. Whatever you want, I'm yours. Folks, that's what God is calling us to. And so Ziba said, your servant will do all my lord the king commands. Now remember, this isn't the end of the story. There's more coming. Chapters later, a number of chapters later, you got to follow the thread in your life. You got to follow the thread. You got to realize that God's up to something. And stuff that may seem irrelevant, it may seem like that's unrelated to anything else I care about, God's weaving it all together. God's making a beautiful story for those who are his children. You may say, well, God, I don't understand what you're up to. I don't see what you're doing. This seems like a waste to me. It's not. It's not. You're not the weaver. God is, and he knows what he's doing. And he's going to make something beautiful of you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.newlifepetaluma.org.